call your attention this morning to the Word of God as you find it in Ephesians 2, verse 10. That they will read the Word of God as follows. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This, beloved, is the climax of the dissertation which the apostle had given in the connection about being saved by grace. The immediate connection speaks of that very emphatically. We only have to start by verse 8 to understand the context. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that faith, not of yourself, it is the gift of God. That's all. That includes everything, beloved. That includes the whole gospel of Jesus Christ, without which there is no gospel. You must never say that that is one side of the gospel and that there is another side. That's monkey business. The gospel is one. God is one, and Christ is one, and the church is one, and the gospel is one. There are no sides to the gospel. And the gospel is this, the whole gospel, including everything. By grace ye are saved, through faith, and that not of yourself, but is the gift of God. That includes the whole program of salvation. By grace we are chosen from before the foundation of the world. How otherwise could we be chosen but by grace? If God had not taken motives out of himself, the motive of grace, how could he possibly choose us, beloved? By grace we are chosen. By grace we are redeemed in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. By grace we are delivered from the power of sin and death. By grace we have faith, not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. By grace we will be preserved unto the end and glorified. It's all of God. Yeah, but someone says, That's probably a dangerous doctrine, is it? Dangerous doctrine? Doesn't that make men careless and profane, perhaps? If we preach such doctrine, and I do, do we not make men careless in regard to his own salvation? Do we perhaps not deny his responsibility when we preach such things, beloved? Must we not emphasize also the activity of man? The activity of faith, they say nowadays, the activity of faith. Beloved, it is impossible. It is absolutely impossible that the Christian should ever become careless and profane. It is impossible. No Christian will ever say, well, I'm saved anyway, I can do as I please now. I'm chosen, I'm saved, it's all finished. No Christian will ever say that, beloved. If any man would talk thus, he would thereby show that he is not a Christian. And that there never was a Christian. Don't you see? Why will not the Christian talk that way? Why is it impossible that a Christian can feel that way, still less talk that way? Because, beloved, God will not let him. God will not let him. Yeah, but you say, but we must do something, mustn't we? Mustn't we do good works? Yeah, we must. We must. We must do good works. But also this, I would not stand alone. I'd add to it. We must do good works, yes, yes, but that's not the way the Christian talks. It's all right, we must do good works. That's perfectly all right. But that's the way, that isn't the way the Christian talks. He does not only say that. He also says, I may do good works. That's something else. He's not under the law, but under grace. The Christian doesn't say, oh, I must do good works. Perhaps I must do good works, otherwise I cannot be saved. Oh, beloved, that's all nonsense. Don't you see that? It isn't so that the Christian does good works in order to be saved. The Christian does good works because he is saved. He is saved. Salvation is first, and then good works. And therefore the Christian does not say, I must do good works, I'm under the fear of the law. No, the Christian says, I may do good works. Thanks the Lord. Still more, he says, I do good works because God has redeemed me and delivered me and saved me. And still more, he also gives me the good works which I may do. And therefore, there is nothing to boast. All boasting is excluded. Absolutely all boasting is excluded. That's why my text begins with that significant word, for. For we are his workmanship. Not of works. We are not saved of works, but of grace. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You may not even boast in your works. Your works are not a gift of God to you. Your works are not a gift of you to God, but they are a gift of God to you. Listen. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Unto good works. God has created us unto good works. And that is not even all, which God hath before ordained. God has before ordained the good works which we must do, beloved. The works. He ordained. He preordained. He and all the works which we must do and which we may do and which we can do by his grace had them all in his counsel. And he puts them all on our way. Before ordained that we should walk in them. That's all. Want to say anything else yet? Want to add anything to this, beloved? Anything at all? Anything? By grace you are saved, through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift of God. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. That's my text. I could possibly say amen now, but I'll explain a little more about this text. And speak to you a few moments on created in Christ Jesus. The church and the believers are created in Christ Jesus. And because we want to emphasize this practical side of the matter, I first of all ask, unto what? Created in Christ Jesus, unto what? The answer is, unto good works. Created what? We are his workmanship. Created. And finally, created how and in whom we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Perhaps, beloved, I can illustrate the whole idea of my text by calling your attention to the rendering of a beautiful cantata or oratorio. And maybe you yourself have heard Handel's Messiah sometime or other. That Handel's Messiah is a beautiful oratorio. Now, that Handel's Messiah is all prepared. Everything is prepared. by the author, by the original author, by Handel. It's already there, all black and white. And beloved, all the parts say there's a chorus of some 300 voices rendering that oratorio. All the parts are foreordained by the author, and everyone has his own place in the choir, chorus, to sing his own part. Tenor, bass, soprano, alto, the organ, the piano, the orchestra, it's all prepared by the author, all black and white. And all these singers simply walk in the way of that cantata according to the paper on which it has been written. They walk in the oratorio. They don't create it, they walk in it. And the result is that if all walk in that oratorio according to the design of the author, the result is one grand harmony of 300 voices, one grand harmony of song. And that, beloved, is really my text. That's really my text. God is the author. Far more the author than Handel was the author of the Messiah. Far more the sovereign author. And God the author has chosen a church. In Christ Jesus, he has chosen a church in Christ Jesus. Why? Why did he choose that church? For you? For me? No. For his own namesake. The church must show forth his glory, his praise. That's God's purpose. When you serve that purpose, then you are blessed. That's true. The blessedness of the church is never apart from the glory of God, but the blessedness of the church and of the believers is never the purpose. Nor are there two purposes, the salvation of the sinner and the glory of God. There's only one purpose, God's glory. And that glory which God wants to show forth of himself, the glory of God, beloved. He wants to show forth in the highest possible sense, the highest possible way. And therefore, he purposed the way of sin and grace. And therefore he purposed the way in Christ Jesus. In Christ. The glory of God must be shown forth in Christ. And through Christ in the church. That's the chorus, beloved, the chorus. Through Christ, the chorus must sing forever. The glory of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God ordains every part of that chorus, every individual part, and he creates us He creates every believer for his part. That's my text. Listen. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know what good works are. Huh? I don't have to elaborate on that, beloved. No, good works are, of course, not only that which we see of works. The work which we see is only a very small part of works, the works of man, very small part. You can see me preach here this morning, and you can hear me preach here this morning. That's all. But you don't know anything about my motive. You don't know anything about my purpose. I can very well preach with a very wicked purpose. I can very well preach without my heart being in it. You don't know anything about that. And therefore you don't have to judge me by my appearance. The same is true of you. I see you here in church. I see you. I can hear you, but I see you. I don't know why you're here. Look, you look very pious, I say that. You look very good people, I say that. I must say that of you. You look very pious just now. But that doesn't mean that you are. Maybe you sit there thinking I wish you'd quit. I don't know. You never tell what people think and feel. And therefore, beloved, good works are not what appears on the surface. Never. Behind that surface is the mind, is the thinking, is the planning, is the willing, is the desire. And behind it all is the heart of man. And good works are briefly those that proceed from a good heart. Never any other work from a good heart. Sure, a good heart. There it works. Good works are those that proceed from the fountain of a heart that is filled with the love of God. Those are good works. Never the rest. It's not like 1924 had it, beloved, that the Holy Spirit hangs some fruit on our tree by common grace with hooks and eyes. The Holy Spirit never does that. That's really common grace. Don't you know? Common grace is fruit that does not proceed from the heart. Good works that do not proceed from the heart. In other words, common grace works are works that are attached to the tree from the outside with hooks and eyes. Those good works of common grace do not come from the root. The Holy Spirit puts them on the outside. That's common grace. The Holy Spirit is not a fool, beloved, reverently speaking. The Holy Spirit never does anything like that. Never. Oh, no. Good works are those and only those that proceed from a good heart, from a heart that is filled with the love of God, and all the rest is corrupt. Good works, therefore, are works as the Heidelberg Catechism describes them, that proceed from a true faith. That's the same as saying that they proceed from a heart filled with the love of God, that are according to the law of God, of course. Whatever is in harmony with the love of God is in harmony with the law of God, and that are to God's glory, of course. And therefore, when the heart is filled with the love of God, and from that love of God we do good works, then we certainly are filled with the law of love, and we are filled with the desire to do good works for the glory of God. That's inevitable. Now listen. We are created unto good works, my text says, unto good works which God hath before ordained. God ordained the works which we do beforehand. That's it. That's beautiful. And beloved, that does not only mean in general. It is so that God at random ordained a certain number of good works which the church must perform. No. The text means very specifically that God ordained every good work which every believer must perform in this life and forever. Everyone. Let me give once more a concrete illustration. God has ordained for me to be here in Doom. And at this very moment, at 11 o'clock in the morning, God has ordained that I should, at 11 o'clock in the morning, stand here on the pulpit in Doom. That was ordained from before the foundation of the world, beloved. God has ordained that I should preach here this morning. Oh, I know, I made arrangement with my son to preach, that's all right, it makes no difference. God has ordained it all from before the foundation of the world, that I should preach here at this time, at this moment, and that, let us say, that is a good work. At least it looks like a good work to you. It ought to look like a good work to you. But let us let's leave that alone. God has ordained that I should perform that work, good work of preaching here in Doom from before the foundation of the world. And God has ordained that you should sit there and listen and worship and pray and sing. All these works God has before ordained. From before the foundation of the world, God has ordained that Doon's Protestant Reformed Church should be here at this very moment, should sit here and listen to the preaching of the word and sing and pray and worship. God has it all ordained before the foundation of the world. That's your calling. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I think it's a good work to worship anyway. We'll come to the rest presently, but that's a good work. It's a good work that I preach. It's a good work that you sit here and worship. That's a good work. God has before ordained this particular good work for you and me. Yeah. But that's not all. He has not only ordained this particular moment and this particular good work which you perform and which I perform at present. Oh, no, beloved. has ordained also all the works which you do. All the works. Of course, has ordained apostles and evangelists and ministers and elders and deacons and teachers and so on and so forth, that they also perform a good work. Ordained by God, sure. But that isn't all. It isn't only when you sit in church and when you are apostle or elder or deacon. No, no, no. God has also ordained that presently you do chores again. Chores. You go to the barn, put on your overalls, and feed your cows and milk and so on and so forth. That God has all ordained. That's also good work. Good work. Oh, yes. Remember that. Good work. God has ordained that presently you go home and the ladies prepare dinner and wash dishes and make beds and so on and so forth. That's all good work. Oh, yes, it is. Just that's all good work. God has ordained whatever you do, your business, your industry, whatever it is, makes no difference. God has it all ordained. Yes, 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 yes. Beginning to end. No question of it. Still more. God has ordained that some people should be in the hospital as they are from our church and always are. God has ordained that some people should be sick. That also is a good work. It's a good work to be sick. Sometimes it's much better work than to be healthy. That's a good work. To be sick, to suffer. To suffer, that's a good work. Don't forget that. When you go to the hospital and have an operation and probably lie on the brink of death, then you must remember that you're doing a good work. That's God's purpose. That all belongs to the good work, which God has before ordained. That's the way you must look at your life. Whether you are a sewer digger or a preacher, or the President of the United States, King, Minister, whether you're a shoemaker or a farmer, makes no difference. Makes no difference. God has ordained your work, and God has created you as Christians, to walk in good works, to perform good works to his glory. Oh, here it's only for a little while. Here we must also do good works to the glory of God, that the whole church may sing his praises. To be sure, that's the idea of all good works. But beloved, before long we will be in glory forever, and then the whole chorus, from Adam to the last of the elect, shall be gathered together in one grand church chorus and sing forever the hallelujah to the praise and glory of God. And then we shall do good works, as we cannot do them now. Now all our good works are defiled with sin. But then we shall do good works without sin, without corruption, imperfection, everyone in his own place in the grand chorus to the glory of God. God has created us in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he before ordained that we should walk in them. We should walk in that. No? The good work lies on my way. That's the idea. This morning at 10 o'clock, the good work was right on my way. the good work of preaching. For you, it was right on your way, put on your way by God at 10 o'clock to come to church and to sing and to worship and to pray and to listen to the preaching of the word. God has put it on your way. All right. But now, I walk in those good works. I'm walking in them. God put it on my way and I walk in it. That is, I preach. And you walk in it and you sit here and worship. That's also of God. But you do it. You know, let me tell you now. Good works are fruits. They're fruits. But they're not fruits like, say, an apple is a fruit of a tree. An apple doesn't know it bears fruit, beloved. An apple doesn't know. But the child of God is a fruit tree that is conscious and willing. He's not a stock and block. He performs, he brings forth fruits willingly and consciously. And therefore the text says, He walks in those good works. He walks in them. Don't you see? Beautiful conception, beloved. He walks in them. I feel that way when church time comes. I feel that way sometimes. You know, I'm a sinful preacher, don't you know? A sinful preacher. And sometimes when 9:30 comes in my own congregation and I must preach, I say to the Lord, in my sinful heart, may I say it in Dutch? Ik verpot het. I sometimes say, feel that way sometimes. Don't you? Don't you ever feel that way? Don't you ever feel that you have to do good work? And that you say to the Lord, it's for profit? I do. I'm not so pious as I look. And you are neither. You are neither. But then, beloved, listen. As soon as I say that, at 9:30 in the morning, I have to go to the pulpit with that in my heart. I don't walk. I don't walk in the good work that you see. I don't walk in the good work. My reward is gone. Then my sinful heart, no, my sinful nature reigns. And then I have no reward. Or suppose a lady must, or a man for that matter, must go to the hospital and submit to an operation, a serious operation. And she says in her heart, oh, that miserable suffering. I wish I was dead. I wish it was, I didn't have to suffer, so I don't want to suffer. Suppose that lady assumes that attitude. Or even suppose that lady says, or that man says, I'm terribly afraid. What then? And then he or she does not walk in that work of suffering. That's a good work. You must walk in it. You must say to God, thou hast created me in Christ Jesus unto good work, that I, which thou hast before ordained, and now thou hast ordained for me the way to the hospital, and the way to the night, and the way to the operation. Please, Lord, give me grace that I may consciously and willingly walk in that way, and that when I do, I may glorify thy grace. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. That's the way it is with all things, beloved. When you bear babies, and you say, oh boy, I expect another baby, your reward is gone. Or when you probably have your house full of little children, and you're busy from morning to night, make breakfast, make beds, clean the house, make dinner, make supper, and so on and so forth. And you say, oh boy, I never any time for myself. Oh, your reward is gone. Your reward is gone. You are created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that you must walk in them consciously and willingly. And you must say every morning, Lord, I thank thee that thou hast ordained my way. I thank thee that thou hast ordained for me all my works, that thou hast ordained for me also the way of suffering, also the way of childbearing, also the way of the farm, the way of industry. I thank thee that thou hast prepared the whole day and the whole way for me. Grant me grace, O God, that I may walk in those good works to thy glory and honor. Amen. I don't mean amen in my sermon. I'm not through yet. But that's the way it is. Then I walk. Then I have a reward. Then God is glorified, beloved. Then I say, thanks for the work, and thanks for the grace, and thanks that I may do good work. Thine is the glory forever. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That creation, beloved, is really a creation. We are created in Christ Jesus. We are created. Oh, yes. God always creates. He is creator. He always creates. He never repairs. He never fixes things up. He's always original. He always creates. He creates originally when he calls the things that are not as if they were. Of course, he calls the whole world by his power. But he also creates us in Christ Jesus when he calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's also creation. A creation really in a much more marvelous sense than the original creation ever was. Much more marvelous, beloved. Originally, God created things out of nothing. That was glorious. God reveals himself as God when he creates, of course. But in Christ Jesus, he creates from less than nothing. From less than nothing, from minus. He creates from sin unto righteousness. He creates from darkness into light. He creates from death into life. That creation in Christ Jesus is much more glorious than the original creation, beloved, because God raises us from the dead. Before Adam was there, he created Adam out of nothing, all right. But here stands a sinner, with his fist in the face of the Almighty, cursing him and swearing, refusing to glorify him and to serve him. From that sinner, he creates a child of God that bends in adoration, that cries out, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That's God. You know, that's much more wonderful than Adam's original creation. That God downs that rebellious fist and makes that sinner to fold his pads humbly and say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That's one. That's the wonder of grace. That's the creation in Christ Jesus. That, beloved, that is regeneration. Oh, I don't know whether I'd find it so quickly. But you know, the most beautiful description of regeneration. You better read that for yourself, I think, when you come home. You're having canons. Canons. You ought to study the canons, you know. The canons. You ought to study them. You ought to know them. Be not Roman Catholics that you trust the church. You must know your confessions. You must know them. But in 3 and 4, I just read a little of it. 11 and 12. Listen. That is what I referred to a moment ago. The work of creating in Christ Jesus. Creating in Christ Jesus. From a sinner, dead in sin and misery, standing with his fist in the face of the Almighty, to a sinner that bows down in humble adoration at the footstool of God and says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Listen. But when God accomplishes his good pleasure in the elect, because he does it only in the elect, don't forget that. The elect, beloved. The elect. That's the gospel. The heart of the gospel is election. Don't forget that. The heart of the gospel is election. Don't let ever anyone deprive you of that. That's the heart of the gospel. Listen. But when God accomplishes a good pleasure in the election, or works in them through conversion, he not only causes the gospel to be externally preached to them and powerfully illuminates their minds by his Holy Spirit, that they may rightly understand and discern the things of the Spirit of God, but by the efficacy of the same regenerating Spirit pervades the inmost recesses of the man. He opens the closed and softens the hardened heart and circumcises that which was uncircumcised, infuses new qualities into the will, which though heretofore dead, he quickens from being evil, disobedient, and refractory. He renders it good, obedient, and pliable. That's God's work of creating us in Christ Jesus. And listen, and this is the regeneration. This is the regeneration. So highly celebrated in Scripture and denominated a new creation, a resurrection from the dead, a making alive, which God works in us without our will. No more, yea, less than Adam had anything to do with his creation. No more has man anything to do with this regeneration. Nothing. You can't do anything to it. God's work. From beginning to end. Created in Christ Jesus. Unto good work, for we are his workmanship. You know, beloved, that creation in Christ Jesus is a wonder. The wonder of grace. You know Christ Jesus. You know what it means to be in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the head. And we are the members. Christ Jesus is the head. Christ Jesus is the head in the judicial sense of the word, in the sense of the legal, in the legal sense, is the head of the body as a corporation. The corporation is the church. And Christ is the head of the corporation. As such, beloved, Christ represented the whole corporation of the elect. From the beginning to the end of the world, the whole corporation of the elect, he represented on the cross. 2,000 years ago almost, Christ represented the elect on the cross. And there, on the cross, he satisfied fully for all the sins of the elect, every one of them. And there, he atoned. There, he reconciled us unto God. There he merited for all the elect all the faith, all the life. He merited all the good works which God had before ordained that the elect should do. Christ merited the privilege of doing those good works. That's a privilege. It's a privilege to do good works, beloved. A privilege. God merited the right. Christ merited the right to do good works. And Christ merited the privilege to do good works. Christ merited the grace that we should walk in those good works. Christ merited all on the cross. 2,000 years ago or more, for all the elect. That's all. And, beloved, Christ is not only the legal head of the church as a corporation, but is also the head of the church in the organic sense. We are members of his body. We are branches of the vine. Christ is the vine. And we are the branches. and Christ by his Spirit dwelling in us creates in us not only the ability but also the constant desire and the constant willingness and the constant readiness to do good works. All of God and nothing of us. So that the end of it all is that we say thanks for thanks. As though never anything from us. We say, thanks God for thy grace. Thanks for the works which thou hast ordained before the foundation of the world. Thanks for the grace that we may walk in those works. Thanks, thanks, thanks. Forevermore, no flesh can ever glory in his presence. Thanks, O Lord. Thanks, for thou art good, and thou art God, and thou art our Savior, and thou art our Redeemer. Thou art our Creator in Christ Jesus. Give us grace, abundant grace, to fight the good fight. For sin still cleaves unto us, in all that we do. But, O Lord, grant that we may fight the good fight, even unto the end, and that finally we may be delivered from all the defilement and power of sin, and dwell with thee forever, to praise and glorify thee with all the saints. Amen. We sing in closing number 429, the first stanza. With all my heart will I recall thy praise, O Lord, and exaltation, and what follows. 429, the first stanza.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with you. Amen.